In 2000, voters in Arizona passed a so-called English-only law, which requires students who don't speak English to be placed in what's called structured English immersion programs, where they learn English apart from every other subject. The problem is those programs have been met with a lot of criticism. The graduation rate for English language learner students in Arizona was at about 18% in 2017. Now, a new poll shows voters in Arizona would support the repeal of that law, and according to the Arizona Mirror, most say they agree with the dual language immersion approach to teaching English.
Right now, there are two different paths for learning another language in Arizona schools: the structured English immersion classes that English language learners, or ELLs, are put in, and dual language immersion programs, which teach students to be bilingual in both English and another language. These have been very successful, but they're off limits to most ELL students.
Now, there's a bill making its way through the state legislature that would send the repeal of the English-only law to voters and open up dual language immersion programs to ELL students. Our next guest was instrumental in laying the groundwork for our state's dual language immersion programs. Megan Carnes Garvey is secretary of the Arizona affiliate of Teachers of English to Speakers of Other Languages. And we started by talking about the intent behind this English-only approach to teaching language.
The idea was that if a student would be in this language block for 4 hours a day, that they would acquire language in 1 year and then be able to move forward learning content with mainstream students. Mm-hmm. The reality is that that doesn't align with any theories of language acquisition. So at the least, we need long-term support for language development.
And so you've seen in Arizona, right, like really low graduation rates for these students and them missing out on content and also not acquiring those English language skills that they're meant to.
So there's significant differences in the outcomes of English language learners when we look at longitudinal studies. Mm-hmm. There's a counter story that says the program is doing well because students maybe passed the test in a couple years, this test that we use to get in and out of the program. The reality is that the students don't have a language foundation to be successful as they move forward. Some of that is language proficiency. Some of it is challenges to identity development now that I've lost my native language. Mm. So all of these factors come into play for why we have significantly low graduation rates for English language learners in Arizona.
So at the same time, though, there are these dual language immersion programs in Arizona schools. And I know you were instrumental in implementing a lot of that, and they've been very successful. And they look a little different. What do those look like?
Back in 2012, Mesa Community College was awarded a 5-year federal grant. And so we connected with the national landscape to activate dual language immersion in Arizona. Due to policy, ELLs in many instances didn't have access to those programs. The state has a waiver that would allow an ELL to have access to that program if they meet one of three criteria, one being they're already proficient in English, the second being that the student is at least 10 years of age, and the third is that there's a special need of that learner to be in the classroom.
So it can be hard to get these ELL students who are not proficient in English and need to learn it into these very successful dual language programs.
Correct.
Okay, so there are some changes afoot, though, at the legislature this year. We've already seen the governor sign a bill earlier this session that removes some of those time restrictions, that 4-hour block. It gives teachers and schools some flexibility within that, right, mm-hmm. For these English language learners. And there's a bill going through the legislature right now that would repeal this English language requirement altogether. So that mm-hmm. would open it up for these ELL students. How big of a difference would that make from your point of view based on this research?
If we invest in the humans that we're serving, right? If we're talking about positive outcomes for the children in our classrooms, for our community, for our society, then this has incredible positive implications for what can happen. We need to be very mindful that when opportunities arise, that we think about the construction of what programs look like to fully support students and learners where they are. Mm-hmm. So based on the language background of the student, based on the population at the school, based on the resources available, what is the best plan for that institution, for those students, so that we have more predictable, successful outcomes for the learners who are in the program.
Right. You can follow the models that other states have followed in this dual language immersion way and see that the results are generally better.
Correct. While we were working on this grant, we followed several other state models. Utah was one of our anchors. They have a thriving dual language immersion program. And we created 10 fidelity assurances for dual language immersion programs. Mm-hmm. And it requires, you know, the planning, initial implementation, an assessment, a refinement process, but really thinking about which subjects do we teach, what is the time that language is spent. At a minimum, it should be a 50% in the first language. You know, what's the teacher target language, the student, all of these things. So yeah, we have these 10 fidelity assurances. And I think although we set those or we designed those for DLI programs, that maybe that's not the right program for every student in every school, but the structure in that design process is what's going to move us forward as we maybe change and implement new programs for students.
Yeah. So is the reality without the repeal of this law in schools right now that lots of kids who are English language speakers who want to learn another language starting at a young age and be successful in it are in these great dual language immersion programs, but kids who are Spanish speakers in general are restricted from them and are not allowed to learn English in that way?
So this is the week of the celebration, 21st anniversary, I should say, of the death of Pablo Freire. He wrote Pedagogy of the Oppressed, which is critical pedagogy. And it's ironic that I'm sitting in this seat with you right now because we have structures that exist that are giving language to a privileged community of students. So a majority of students who already have linguistic capital are now not only advancing in their native language, they're also learning a second language, which is going to maximize their opportunities in a globalized society. And we have a population of students who are losing their language, mm-hmm, who are a minoritized group of students. And so the irony of me being here on the anniversary of his death is interesting because as somebody who worked on DLI programs in Arizona, I was very critical of myself of whether or not it was the right thing to do, knowing that ELLs didn't have access to the program.
Really?
And my colleagues and I would have to often unite and say, the tides are changing, and ELLs will have access to these programs. And so that was a common message when we worked with principals and teachers and the community about this need to move forward with action so that ELLs would have access to the program. And so really it feels like it's about time that these programs are accessible to all learners.
All right. Megan Kearns-Garvey, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.